And turn with me, if you will, to the gospel as recorded by John, chapter 15, beginning at the first verse. We are reading today from the New King James Version. And our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 570 of your pew Bible. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. For by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Pray with me this morning. As we examine this text with this thought in mind, abide in Jesus. Abide in Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. In our text today, the Lord declares and makes the last of his great I am declarations. The declaration that he revealed that he was God in human flesh. And these are found only in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, Jesus declares, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the truth and the life. With each of these I am statements, Jesus is declaring that I am the eternal one. I am one with God. And now as he sits with his disciples on the night before his crucifixion, he says to them, I am the true vine. He knows that they have some difficult days ahead of them. And he knows that they will need a strength that they do not have within themselves. He reveals to them that their relationship with him is most vital, and that through him they will receive the resources that they will need to accomplish the work that he's leaving for them to do. He also gives them a requirement and a promise. Abide in me and you shall bring forth much fruit. The requirement is abide in me, and the promise is you'll bring forth much fruit. And the Lord provided that same relationship and that same requirement for us today. He also left the same resources for us to do the work. And he gives us that same promise. Abide in me, and you will bring forth much fruit. But what does it mean to abide in Jesus? And how do we do that? Well, the answer is in the text. So let's turn to the text to discover the implications of abiding in Jesus. In verse 5, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. When we abide in Jesus, we have the productivity of heaven on our side. The productivity of heaven on our side. When we abide, we will bear fruit. In verse 1, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. The vine was often used in Hebrew imagery as a symbol of Israel itself. Israel was to be God's plant, from which he would nourish the world with the knowledge of himself. But Israel failed as God's plant. And so Jesus declared that he is the true vine from God. And God himself is the gardener. Jesus said, I'm the real vine that's going to do what God had intended for the nation of Israel to do in the first place. From Jesus, the world will be nourished of God. And from him, the world will gain a knowledge of God. Jesus is the vine, but fruit does not come from the vine directly. It comes from branches. So he continues in verse 2, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. We, the Lord's disciples, are the branches from which fruit is expected. And what does it mean to bear fruit? Well, it means that we should grow in the Lord. We should no longer be babes in Christ, but we should begin to perceive and understand the mind of God. We should be able to teach others what it means to be a servant of God. And we can only do that if we know that, if we've been abiding in Him. But it also means that we should touch the lives of others in such a way that they become aware of their need for the Lord. It means that we should become faithful and effective witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that does not happen, if we do not grow, and if we're not witnesses of the Lord through our words, our deeds, and our lifestyle, then we are unfaithful servants, and the Lord will take us out of the way. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. But if we are fruitful, He takes away those things that hinder us so that we can become even more fruitful. He says, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Just as the gardener cuts away some of the branches of a plant so that the branches that remain can grow more rapidly, the Lord prunes away those things that inhibit and hold back our fruitfulness so we can go ahead and do the work that He's called us to do. But there's something that you need to understand about pruning. Pruning is not just trimming away the dead branches. Pruning sometimes means trimming away some of the healthy branches so that those can remain will grow even stronger. Sometimes the Lord will take away something from you that you would not give up on your own. And you may feel that the Lord is punishing you, but He's not. He's just pruning you for greater growth. And when we get to the end of our journey, then we'll understand why He removed that person or that job or that relationship or that situation from our lives. It was so that we could become more fruitful in His service. The Lord continues in verse 3. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Jesus is speaking to those who are His disciples, to the church. For He says, you are clean because of the word. So He's speaking to those who have received His word. So it is from the church that God expects fruitfulness, not from the world. The church is God's vineyard, and He expects to find fruit in His vineyard. Look at verse 4. He says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Fruit can only come from branches which are connected to the vine. So the branches must stay connected to the vine. They must abide or stay with the vine. The word abide means to continue with or to stay with. So that's what Jesus is saying. Stay with me. Even when things get difficult, stay with me. Abide with me. So only those who stay with Jesus will bear fruit. In verse 5, He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. The reason I think that there's so little fruitfulness in the church is because so many have departed from the Lord and may not even know it. They still have service, they still sing songs, they still have anniversaries, but they have departed from the things that the Lord is concerned with, and they become unfruitful. We have the opportunity here at Encouragement Ministries to bear fruit for the Lord. All we have to do is abide in the Lord, stay with Him. We started out on the Lord's command to do the work which He gave us to do. Part of the Great Commission, to go and to preach and to teach His gospel. And that's our whole purpose. And if we keep doing that, if we stay with that, the Lord will bless us. If we stay in the Lord's will and in His word, He will produce much fruit. That's a promise that we have from the Lord Himself. When we abide in Jesus, we have the productivity of heaven on our side. But we have more than that when we abide in Jesus. Look at verse 6. Jesus says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. When we abide in Jesus, we have the protection of heaven on our side. Cut a ring into the bark of a limb on a tree, and that limb will be cut off from the nourishment that the tree sends out to his limbs. And the limb will eventually wither and die. So it is those who cut themselves off from the Lord. Like those limbs, they soon wither and die. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. And their lives soon start to fall apart, and they begin to wonder, why? But when what they see glaring up at them is the fact that they have not abided in the Lord. They went their own way. They did their own thing. They did what seemed right in their own eyes instead of seeking God's counsel. They lost the protection of the Lord. But if you stay in the Lord, if you abide in Him, if you obey His word, even when you feel like doing something else, you will have trials and tribulations, but the Lord Himself will fight your battles for you. He'll fight your daily conflicts. He'll fight those things that come at you from nowhere. He'll be right there with you, and you'll have the confidence of knowing that the Lord is on your side protecting you. You'll have the sure knowledge that the Lord is going to keep you from being utterly destroyed by whatever comes before you. You don't have to worry about it, because you know whatever it is, the Lord is going to take care of it. We need to keep God's promise from Psalm 34 high in our minds. In Psalm 34, beginning at verse 15, the Lord says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned." That's a promise from God. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 to illustrate what happens when you separate yourself from the resources that sustain you, from God's resources. You know the story. The youngest son of this man who had great property was not happy abiding with his father, and he wanted to strike out on his own. So he got his inheritance and went on his way, and he did just that. He struck out. Soon he found himself feeding hogs and wishing that he was back home, even as a servant. And he realized how foolish he had been for not abiding with his father, and that he had no protection from the dangers of the world. And so he went home ready to plead for mercy, and his father accepted him back. But he paid the price because he had decided not to abide with his father. When we abide in Jesus, we have the protection of heaven on our sides. But that's not all. Not only do we have protection, but we have power. Look at verse 7. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." When we abide in Jesus, we have the power of heaven on our side. Ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. What a statement that is. Is Jesus really saying that we can ask whatever we desire and God will give it to us? Well, what if we ask for something extravagant, something outside the will of God? Is he bound by his promise to grant it anyway? No, God forbid. Look closely at what the Lord said. He said, "If you abide in me," that's the condition. "If you are believing in Christ and his words abide in you." The word of the Lord, if it's abiding in you, then your desires are being shaped by God's desires and by God's will, and being turned towards things that are pleasing to God. If the Lord's word is abiding in you, you cannot harbor evil desires at the same time that his word is abiding in you. It's not possible. But if you have stopped abiding in the Lord, you may harbor all kinds of evil desires. And the Lord's promise is not to those who have failed to abide, but for those who are continuing to abide in him. "Stay in me," he says, "and whatever you desire will be given to you." Because if you stay in him, his word stays in you, then you're in the place where God can use you. So whatever you desire, he's going to use to bless you and to glorify his name. Abide in the Lord, he'll put the power of heaven at your disposal. Abide in Jesus and you can claim God's promises, God's eternal promises, such as Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5. It says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Those are some promises from God that you can claim if you're abiding in him. When we abide in Jesus, we have the power of heaven on our side. When you abide in Jesus, God's resources are working for you. Doors will open for you that will have been closed before. Your adversary will have no power against you. Stay with Jesus and he'll work out that impossible situation for you. Abide with Jesus and he'll shine a light for you into that dark situation that you couldn't see your way out of. And the thing you need to remember is that God will make a way for you out of no way. So you need to be looking for the way out. When you're in the midst of something, of some trial, some temptation, if you have faith in God, you know that he's going to provide a way out. You won't despair because you know that somewhere God is going to provide that way out. And if you know that, you're going to be looking for it. If you don't know that, you'll miss it. But if you know that God is going to be faithful to provide that way out, you'll be looking for it. When it comes, you said, "Praise God." knowing that any day now God is going to bless you, allows you to go through trials and tribulations and troubles that you would not have been able to make it through without that knowledge of God. When we abide in Jesus, we have the power of heaven on our side. But we have more than that. Look at verse 8. Jesus says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple." When we abide in Jesus, we have the purposes of heaven on our side. As we abide in the Son of God, and as we obey the Word of God, we bear fruit to the glory of God. And this is God's purpose for us, that we grow as disciples of Jesus and bear fruit in His name. And that's the will of God, and God gets the glory, and we get the blessings. God's purpose in this world is to spread the gospel, and we are His instruments. As we yield to His purposes, as we align ourselves to His will and His desire for His purposes, then He grants us power and protection and productivity to accomplish His purpose. So many people wonder why I can't get anything done. Well, what is it you're trying to get done? If you're trying to get God's will done, then He's going to bring everything together. He's going to help it happen, make it happen. We therefore have no place for failure when we abide in Jesus, because we have submitted ourselves to the will and the purpose of Almighty God, who cannot fail. For example, Joshua had the most difficult job in the world. He had to follow the footsteps of Elijah. Moses had led Israel out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt and through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And now Moses has died, and Joshua is wondering, how is he going to fill the shoes of this giant? And he was scared. And then he had a talk with God. And God said, "Don't worry about Moses' shoes, Joshua. I have some different shoes for you to fill. Moses was a great leader, but I'm going to make you one of the greatest generals that Israel has ever known. No army in the world will be able to stand up to you. But you need to abide in me." Joshua chapter 1. Begin at the first verse. The Lord talks with Joshua after the death of Moses. Joshua 1:1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written within. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." When we abide in Jesus, we have the purposes of heaven on our side. Now we return to the question with which we began. What does it mean to abide in Jesus? To abide means to stay. It means to stay faithful. It means to stay with Him. It means that you trust Jesus when trouble comes and you need to call on Him. It means that you stay with Jesus when things are going well and it seems like you don't need Him anymore. Stay with Him. Abide in Him. And we have some mighty good reasons to abide in Jesus. When we abide in Jesus, we have God's productivity on our side. Things that seem to work out. When we abide in Jesus, we have God's protection on our side. Seen and unseen dangers, we don't have to worry about it. When we abide in Jesus, we have God's promises on our side. God has made some sure promises. And when you're in Him, you can claim those promises. When we abide in Jesus, we have God's power on our side. But we have more reason than that to abide in Jesus. Abide in Jesus and He'll be your strength when trouble comes. Abide in Jesus, He'll be your comfort when sorrows come. Abide in Jesus, He'll be your peace when confusion comes. Abide in Jesus, He'll be your joy when sadness comes. Abide in Jesus, He'll be your rest when you start to get weary. Abide in Jesus. He'll be your water when you thirst for righteousness. Abide in Jesus. He'll be your bread when your soul gets hungry. But we cannot abide in Jesus Christ unless we are in Jesus Christ. You cannot stay with him unless you start with him. This will be a mighty good time for you to start your walk with the Lord. While the blood is running warm in your veins, we are not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. But God has already prepared a place for you, and all you need to do is come and receive that place. He said, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. In just a moment, I'm going to give an altar call. And it may be that you're ready to abide in Jesus for the very first time. The Lord has been knocking at the door of your heart and you're ready to let him in. If that's your case and the call is given, you come. Come as a candidate for baptism. Or if you've already been baptized, come by your Christian experience. But the important thing is that you come and abide in Jesus and let him abide in you. Or if you already received Christ, if you're in the church, but you have not abided in the Lord the way that we've talked about this morning, you may have gone your own way and you want to come back. You can come back. You can come back. Come in prayer and ask the Lord to restore to you the joy of your salvation, the joy that you once knew with him. Or you may just want to thank the Lord for giving you the strength and the light to abide in him day by day, for the joy that he brings to your heart every day, for the peace that you experience with him every day, for the power with which he keeps your soul every day. Whatever your case, come to the altar of God. All who desire prayer, the doors of God's church are open.